even better.
Live, uncensored, Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All righty, we're back, hour number two of the program, and I'm Rick Adams here tonight on Uncensored Radio Free America. And, I remember this preacher, one thing he said here many years ago, and he used to say in his radio programs, Gene, I thought was quite clever and quite good, and he used to say that people who say, I don't need to be saved and I don't need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God, well, he said, they'll say, I was born a Christian. And he would say, well, if you were born in a garage, would that make you a car? I thought that was a pretty good analogy.
Let me say this, Rick. I graduated from North Texas State University.
Yeah.
With a degree in education, and after I left the Armstrong organization and their college where I did get a master's degree from, I began studying on my own, and I just began studying the Bible on my own, and that's what I think anybody has to do to decipher truth from error, because the truth's in the Bible. It doesn't come from me or you or anybody else. It comes from the Bible. That's why I call myself Bible Truth Man. Not that I have the truth, but I get the truth from the Bible. As Christ Jesus said for us to do, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth, in John chapter 17, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get the truth from the Bible instead of having an organization, a religious organization labeled Christian, indoctrinate me. And then, of course, I got my Ph.D. from West Clayton University outside of Houston, and which is a legitimate university recognized by the United States government, and as a legitimate college, just like the University of Phoenix is.
Well, I don't know. Would you want something recognized by the United States government as an imprimatur?
Really, not really.
No.
Rick, I didn't just buy my Ph.D.
I know what you mean. I get the idea. All right, let's take Dylan in Texas now. He's been waiting a long time. Hello, Dylan.
Good evening, Rick. Good
yes.
to talk to you again.
Yes, good to talk to you.
And good evening, Gene, my
good evening.
Friend. I haven't talked to you, but you are my friend. How are you doing, Gene?
Fine, my friend.
I agree with a lot of what y'all are saying. I don't agree with anybody completely about the Bible. I've been studying it not quite as long as you, and of course I consider both of you to be senior to me in years of study at least. I got a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Someone mentioned, I'll just start off with, someone mentioned Pastor Peters. He's on the shortwave. He's a Christian identity. That is, he says Caucasians are, the only Israelites are Caucasian, and so thus he is a natural birth covenant ideologist. I do myself believe that the Israelites of the so-called Old Testament were indeed Caucasian, and that they went on to in large numbers inhabit Europe and the British Isles and Scandinavia. However, I am not a natural birth covenant ideologist. I believe it's a conditional covenant.
Hello? Yeah. What do you mean by that now, Dylan?
Oh, well, if I haven't made myself clear, I could play either side of the argument saying that I am a natural birth covenant ideologist or not.
All right, hang on to that thought. We'll pick it up on the other side, all right?
All right.
We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest, Gene Smith, and our callers, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
And we are back now. All right, we've got our caller here, and that's Dylan. Dylan, you were just stating your position and your interpretation of the scriptures. Go ahead, make that, and then we'll have Gene react to it, okay?
Well, I certainly believe that the Old Testament, Semitic Hebrew Israelites, which is the predominant part of my ancestry, were the Israelites of the Old Testament, and went on to inhabit the British Isles and Western Europe and the United States and such. However, I am not a proponent of the natural birth covenant ideology. I believe the covenant with Messiah is conditional.
Mm-hmm. In what sense?
Well, there's...
I mean, what's the...
condition for the saving of our souls in the so-called Old Testament and Renewed Covenant, so-called New Testament.
All right, so what's the condition?
Well,
spell it out.
Rick, don't you know there's... Come on, Rick. There's plenty of conditions all in it. You know that.
Spell it out. Go ahead. For the listeners.
Okay. Well, they're conditional upon our goodwill effort to fulfill the law to the best of our ability.
Right.
A sincere goodwill effort.
Yeah.
And I say a goodwill effort because it is impossible for man to fulfill the law, but where to revere the Ten Commandments and the law.
All right. Yep.
And that is the condition of where our heart is at to be in covenant with Messiah while we walk the earth.
Okay, Gene?
Well, I agree. The New Covenant, though, says that the laws of God, the commandments and statutes of Exodus and Deuteronomy will be in our hearts and minds. That is New Testament theology in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Christ Jesus told the rich young man in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, that if you will enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. We can observe the laws of God. I say to anybody that says differently, which one of the Ten Commandments do you have a problem with? Which one of the statutes of God in Exodus and Deuteronomy do you have a problem with? We can keep the law of God, Elohim. You know, we say we can keep man's law, and all of these preachers are teaching our people, you better keep man's law. You better pay all the taxes that they say you owe. You better adhere to every law that comes down the pike out of Washington, D.C., District of Criminals, and every state government. But then they turn around and say, well, you don't have to obey the laws of God, though.
Well, you know what's funny about it, Gene? Let me interject here. And that is that, you know, when it comes to man's laws, I have to tell you, I don't know that I'm law-abiding simply because I don't know all the laws. And there are so many thousands and hundreds of thousands of laws that most people who supposedly enforce the law don't know the laws because of that. Yet God's law is just the opposite, just right. The contrary. It's simple, and it's basic, and it's direct, isn't it?
It is. It's right there in Exodus and Deuteronomy, from Exodus chapter 20 to Exodus chapter 23, and Deuteronomy beginning chapter 5 through, through verse 31, through chapter 31. What I'm saying is, man's laws are a myriad, a Babylonian myriad of laws, where God's commandments and statutes are, like you say, they're logical, they're moral, and they're not as many as man's laws, that's for sure.
And man's laws contradict themselves.
Yes.
A little more precise of a question for you, Gene. Mm-hmm. Scholars proposing that some lineages survived outside of the lineage of Noah often cite Cainites or Kenites as descendants of Cain, the firstborn son of Eve. And this Cainites or Kenites, it only comes up in the scriptures in our English version spelled K-E-N, Kenites. And I've traced that back to the Kenites, who were the Midianite Hebrew Semites. And if the way I read Genesis, I don't see that anyone survived the flood. But I am open to the possibility that it's just not readily apparent in the scripture, because the Genesis doesn't make it clear that anyone except Noah and his lineage survived.
Well, the flood of Noah's time was not worldwide. It was in the 24th century B.C. There's no geologic record of any worldwide flood in the 24th century B.C. Also, you had your Chinese civilization, the Egyptian civilization, live right through that time period, beginning long before that time period, living right through there. Jesus said that the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23 and Luke chapter 11 were the descendants of Cain, so they had to live through the flood of Noah's time also to be alive when Christ Jesus is on the earth. Also, the fact that the word earth there in Genesis 6, 7, and 8 is from the Hebrew word Eretz, and it doesn't mean the planet earth. It means a land area. It's translated country. It's translated a land area over 1,700 times in the Law and the Prophets, and times as the planet earth.
What was that verse there where Messiah said, so-and-so are descendants of Cain? I mean, can you tell me the verse?
Sure. It's Matthew 23, basically, and verses 33 and 34 and 35, where Christ Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes that their generation. And the Greek word for generation here means their lineage. It doesn't mean their generation living at that time. It means a lineage, lineage. He says they were responsible for the death of the blood of righteous Abel.
Okay, now, I have an important historical question for you then. So, and for this fact, are we relying on, it seems to me we're definitely not relying on the standard Protestant canon scriptures. We're going to secular history as well. Is that true?
Well, yes. I trace the people of Cain to the Hittites, and who Esau married into and became a part of the Edomites. Of course, Esau also married Ishmael's daughter and became part of the Arabs today, but also his lineage became these Edomite people that were running the temple and running the religious teaching there in the temple through the Pharisees when Christ uses on the earth. And they're the ones that murdered him. They're the ones that murdered him to shut up the truth he was teaching,
see,
that they were not Israelites, but from Cain.
You just said the Edomites?
Yes, Edomites are the descendants of Esau and the Hittites. Esau married two Hittite female, as recorded in Genesis, and that's why he was. That's why the birthright could not come through Esau, because he did that. It wasn't because he gave Jacob some stew. It was because he married into the Hittites, who were the descendants of Cain.
Gene, my last question: what is a good secular reference source or a couple for reviewing this heritage of Cain, since it's not really laid out in Genesis in our standard canonized Bible?
Well, writing me, and I'll send you some good literature on that.
Okay, that's good enough.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, and they can write to you also at your post office address. Why don't you give that address again, Gene?
Yes, it's P.O. Box 201, P.O. Box 201, Scurry, S-C-U-R-R-Y, a little town south of Dallas, Texas. And the zip code is 75158, 75158, the zip code. I live in Fort Worth. I used to live out there, but I still kept the P.O. Box. If they want to phone me, they can phone me at 817-483-1485. I'll repeat that. Area code 817-483-1485. They can go to my website at Bible Truth Man. That's all one word, BibleTruthMan.com. They can email me and order literature at BibleTruthMan at Yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start with Jerry in West Virginia now. Hello, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hello, Rick. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good. Welcome aboard.
I've been listening intently to you and Gene. The one question I have, and I don't know how to say this. I'm not trying to bear bait anybody with this.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been led to believe is that a lot of these, let's say, mainstream preachers and Christian entities are actually belong to a Christian cult called the Fellowship. Is there any truth in that, Gene?
To the what?
The Fellowship.
The Fellowship. I've never heard of that. These preachers all go to their various seminaries. They're taught Judeo-Christianity, which is Judeo-Catholicism, really. Judaism and Catholicism mixed together, which is pagan sun worship and Judaism mixed together. And they are paid, some of them are paid very handsomely, some are paid more than others, of course, to teach this to our people through these various religious organizations. Some are hierarchical organizations, and they are financed through coercing people to give them 10% of their income every month, leaving them their estates even. Some individual preachers, they go out on their own, like Copeland and Benny Hinn, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, etc. They still coerce people to give them their estates, give them 10% of their income every month. And, you know, these preachers have not given us a Christian America, have they? We do not have a Christian America at all, yet we have all these preachers, all these religious organizations, all these seminaries that I call cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have a Christian nation. Why not? If they're teaching the Bible correctly, why don't we have a Christian nation? That's a good question I like to ask any of them.
Well, they've given us an Israeli nation, haven't they?
They sure have. They've promoted the nominal Jews today as being Israel, the state of Israel lies being the regathering of Israel, which are both lies. And, of course, they've promoted the pagan sun worship of Christmas and Easter that we've talked about on your program, Rick, as being Christian.
All right.
And, of course, Sunday worship as the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, when it's actually Friday twilight, Saturday twilight.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more question for Gene.
Okay.
Is this in any way connected to the Jewish Kabbalah?
Well, sure. The mystery Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, is the mother of harlots, and that's one of the harlots. The Kabbalah is a mystical Judaism. Now, that was basically written around the 12th century A.D. The Babylon Talmud, which is the Bible of Orthodox Judaism, was complete around 500.
Okay.
But they're both Judaism.
All right. Thank you very much for being a first-time caller, Jerry. We shall be back with more just ahead. Gene Smith, my guest. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect product to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
The first step in winning the war, spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
All right, we are back, and we've had loaded lines for Gene Smith. I guess people, Gene, are thirsting for knowledge and truth today.
Because that's what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, that's the only thing that's going to make us free.
Yes, the truth shall set you free, John 8, 32. And a lot of people don't really recognize the true meaning of that word. What is truth? Remember Pilate said, what is truth?
Sure did.
He didn't know. He was a politician. What would a politician know about truth?
Well, Christ used to not answer him because he knew it wouldn't do any good. He didn't want to cast his pearls before swine.
Right.
Number two, Jesus had already answered that question in John chapter 17, verse 17,
He
said, thy word is truth.
That's right. Absolutely. And he knew that he would have to die for the remission of the sins of his people.
Right.
All right, let us take another call. I hope we can at some point get into these questions pertaining to the history of America and the Supreme Court decisions which turned America and the Constitution on her head. But if not, we'll do it next time.
All right,
let's continue. We have, we have Marilyn in California. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Rick. I've just been listening to what you're saying. I'm not quite sure I agree with you. This gentleman just said that after the flood, not everybody was destroyed.
Okay, that's Gene, our guest. Speak directly to him.
No,
go ahead.
I didn't hear everything he said.
Sure.
Gene, do you believe everything the Bible says in it?
Gene?
Well, sure.
Well, in Genesis 7:23, all in whose 22 and 23, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and creeping things, and the fowl in the heaven, and they were destroyed from there. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. So what do you do with that kind of information?
Very good question.
Land there means the land area. The flood was a regional flood. It was a big flood, but it wasn't worldwide. Like I say, there's no geologic evidence for any worldwide flood in the 24th century B.C. We have all of these civilizations, the Chinese, Egyptian, the people of Cain even, surviving right through the time period of the flood of Noah's time, and beginning before that time even. So how do you answer that?
I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying that they, if that happened, that then the Bible is lying.
The Bible's not lying, ma'am. The word
that was on the earth died except for Noah and who was in the ark with him.
I want you to listen to me very carefully.
Okay, listen.
These people, a lot of people are not listening here. The Greek, Hebrew word, the Bible was not inspired in English, especially not King James English, even though it's a good translation, basically. The Hebrew word for earth. Is Eretz, and it means a land area. It's translated that and the word country over 1,700 times. So when it says the flood covered the earth, it means a land area, a large land area, but not the planet Earth. So you can't say because the flood waters covered the earth that it's the planet Earth, because the Hebrew word Eretz does not mean that here.
Well,
it means a large land area.
There are several creation institutions. I know Answers in Genesis and Ken Ham and Henry Morris's group that has found evidence of a worldwide flood all over the world, so I'm not sure where you get that it was a regional flood, and where would you get that information?
Well, there was a worldwide flood. There was a worldwide flood, ma'am, but it was back in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, because of Satan's rebellion in heaven. It destroyed the earth and all the dinosaur life, every living thing on this planet earth that God had created in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Science knows this. They know that giant meteors have hit the planet Earth. They know they killed the dinosaurs, but they don't know where they came from. They came from Satan's rebellion. It was a worldwide flood at that time, way back in history that we don't even know how long ago.
There's no geologic evidence of any worldwide flood in Noah's time. If he wasn't going to have a worldwide flood then. It doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? The worldwide flood happened long before Noah lived. It happened back in prehistory.
Talking about two separate floods, Marilyn. Two separate instances.
Yeah, well, what he's saying doesn't make any sense from what God would not do that, take every animal two by two, and these people, and have them build this ark if there was not a worldwide flood. Why would you do that?
That's not true, because Noah and his family had to survive the flood in that area because God wanted to keep them there, number one. Noah and his family had nowhere else to go. They would have been killed if they'd have gone into any other land area that was full of pagans at the time. Yet God destroyed the people in that area because they had intermarried with the people of Cain, as it says very clearly, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, those were the people of Cain, that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. They interracially married with the people of Cain. They had satanic blood in them. They had to be destroyed. The violence filled that land area. Noah and his family had nowhere else to go to be safe, any other place. God had to protect Noah and his family in that land area so they could survive in that land area after the flood.
Okay, there's no way you can get animals from all over the planet Earth to come into that. There's any churches that are any good?
Well, ma'am?
Are you saying you don't think there's any churches that are any good, that all the churches are bad?
I'm just saying that Noah and his family had nowhere else to go at that time in world history. What, ma'am?
Okay, we've exhausted that. We disagree. I don't buy what you're saying. But let me go to another topic that I'd like to discuss.
Well, we only have a few seconds, Marilyn. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask him about the churches. He says they're not.
All right. We already have. He'll answer that off the air. Thank you. All right, Marilyn. We'll do that when we come back. Are all the churches bad, Gene? We'll have you address that when we come back. Our guest, Gene Smith, the Bible Truth Man, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Rick Adams.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And here we are. Yes, sir, we're back. Okay, we're back. All right, you thought I missed my cue, huh? Well, I didn't. Here I am. 800-313-9443. And we have so many people to go through tonight. But anyway, we will continue, Jean, if you wish. But I wanted you to answer her question. She said, do you find there are any good churches in America today, or are there any good people in churches? I think those were her questions.
Well, I think she also asked about the animals going into the Ark of Noah.
Yes. All right, address all of those questions. Go ahead.
Those animals were indigenous to that area. Animals from all over the planet Earth could no way have gotten to Noah to get into the ark. The ark was not big enough. You could go by the dimensions to hold them. Those were the animals that lived in that area, so they could survive after the flood, after the waters went down. They could still survive in that area. We have animals all over the planet Earth today that are indigenous to their area. They cannot survive outside that area. A polar bear could not survive in the tropics. A lion and a tiger could not survive in the Arctic. We have animals today that are indigenous to their area, and they can only survive in their area. And that was true at the time of Noah. He took in the animals that lived in that large land area only. Now, it's about the churches. The word, define your word, as Voltaire the famous French philosopher said. And so the word church is from the Greek word ekklesia. It means called out one.
Mm-hmm.
It means people. It means Christian people. It does not mean a religious organization, a hierarchical organization, a business, as all of them are. And so you say, are they good? Well, they're not good if they're a business. They're not good if they make money off people. And the preachers and his henchmen has hierarchy, live like kings, and the people live in basic poverty, like a lot of religious organizations are like. And even individual preachers and forming their own religious organization, like we've talked about, and become filthy rich off stealing from people through tithing and leaving them their and people telling people to leave them their estates. And so, no, these are not good. Jesus said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And these are corrupt trees, all these organizations, these businesses. That's not the Christian church. The Christian church are the Christian people of the New Covenant that have the laws of God in Exodus and Deuteronomy in their hearts and minds and are striving to live by them every day.
All right. I think that's an interesting point of view. And I think you would probably agree there are many fine people in
sure.
all of these churches,
yes.
and sincere people, and unfortunately, many are being misled, and many are being put on a guilt trip to give money, and that if they don't give, or they don't give the tithe, that God's not going to bless them, and they're going to wind up suffering in life, and,
well,
and
that's
you know.
Distortion of the Scriptures, Rick, and
I
Jesus,
know.
Jesus warned us in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, he said, many will come in my name, many. And the Greek word for many there means the vast majority will come in my name, saying that I am Christ. They will say that Christ Jesus is the Messiah, and yet deceive many. And that is being fulfilled today. And they're deceiving many by observing a pagan Easter, getting back to that, as the resurrection day of Christ Jesus, denying his sign that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights by saying he died on Friday and was resurrected on Sunday morning. That denies that sign that he gave, the only sign he gave that he was the Messiah. So they're teaching our people lies, and again, we go back to the beginning of the program where I quoted John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. I can't state it enough that Christ Jesus said you must worship him and God the Father in truth.
That's right, in spirit
and
in truth.
And Rick, worship does not mean just in a building somewhere. Worship is how you live your life also.
Well, you know, there's something else that people always misquote the Scriptures and always wind up taking everything out of context. And as you said a couple of times, you know, when you've called in, you can prove anything if you want from the Bible, if you want to distort the Scriptures.
Right.
But there will be people who will cite the scribes and the Pharisees praying in public as a reason to try to ban public prayer. And that's not the point of that Scripture.
No.
The Scripture is clearly showing that these men were hypocrites, frauds, and imposters for doing that, not because public prayer or exhibition of prayer in public is wrong. It's because these men were doing it for the wrong reasons.
Well,
and that's so obvious.
Yeah, they were the religious leaders of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, and they had their own organization there in the temple, and they were getting filthy rich off the people, too, through tithing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk about the tithing law sometime, because it's not to go to any preacher or any priest or any religious
yeah.
organization or building.
Right. It was specifically during the specific time for the priesthood.
Right.
Right, of Leviticus.
That's
exactly.
been done away now.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's see. We've got Bob in Missouri. Hello, Bob.
Hi. Yeah, I had a couple questions that kind
sure.
of relate to each other.
All right.
What I hear people bring up. Number one, I was wondering what your guest view is of Christ saying, when he comes to the point where he says it's now time to sell your shoes and such and grab a sword.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said to Peter to put that sword away, you know.
Right. Two different instances.
He was saying two things. He was saying, you know, it's time to mm-hmm. protect yourself. But that never really happened among the apostles. What's your guest opinion on
sure.
that?
Sure. Gene?
Christ Jesus said to go buy, sell your coat and buy a sword to protect yourself, not to destroy the Roman government. He never told his disciples to go to destroy the Roman government. And Peter was trying to start a war against Rome. All of his disciples thought that the misconception that the Messiah was going to deliver the people of Judea and
from Roman captivity.
From the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not Jesus' purpose as the Messiah. He came to die for our sins, and he could not have Peter start a war and fulfill his purpose, Jesus' purpose, as the Messiah to die for our sins. But he did say, yes, you buy a sword today, a gun, whatever, to protect your family, of course, and yourself.
Why didn't they ever do that?
What, sir?
Why didn't they ever do that? Do we have a record of them doing that?
Well, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did obey all the teachings of Jesus. I'm sure when they went all over Europe and Britain, to go into the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as Christ Jesus told them to do in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6, I'm sure that they took a sword with them. It's not wrong to be, as a Christian, to defend yourself and your family.
Well, I think what he's saying is the Bible doesn't record specific instances, and it doesn't need to. We assume that that's what they did, right?
Right, exactly. They obeyed all the teachings of Christ Jesus, including that one, obviously.
Well, you know, a lot of people will quote Romans, where it says Paul was saying you're supposed to obey, obey Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on that?
Well, he didn't say that, but that's okay. Go ahead, Gene. You tell us.
Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's?
Yes.
That's what he said.
Well,
yes.
Caesar represents human government. It was human government at the time, of course, Jesus lived. We have human government today. Jesus said, render under human governments what is human governments, and render under God what is God's. In other words, of course, obeying the laws of God are far above obeying the laws of human government.
Well, a lot of people use that today as a way to tyrannize people, saying that you should obey the government above everything.
No.
You know, so that's been misquoted there. Now,
I obey the laws of God far above any human law.
Well, that's really what our Constitution is built on, but a lot of different religious leaders will say, well, you got to obey what the country says, and, you know, I've gotten on radio with different religious leaders saying, I bring them to the point where they said, well, I guess America was wrong in fighting against the British. And they said, yes. You know, and so they have to get to that point. So obviously they're trying to tyrannize. It's part of the Marxism that rules in the religious communities today. But you were saying about what was this you were saying about the Jews? Now, who are the real Jews? I didn't catch because the radio frequency doesn't come in real good here. Mm-hmm. Who are the present Jews today that are in Israel? And did you know that the former pope was, his last name was, what's it, Katz? He was part Jewish, a Polish Jew?
Mm, yes, that's Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, he was a roommate of Ratzinger, who is the current Roman pope, who I think is a nominal Jew. But they both went to Jesuit school. Nobody can be a Roman pope unless they go to the Jesuit school. That's just bottom line today for Roman Catholics. Mm-hmm. The Jesuits originally were nominal Jews that took over the Roman Catholic Church back in the 1530s and 40s. Now,
really?
The present-day nominal Jews in Israel are Edomites and Hittites. They're not the people of Israel. That's not the regathering of Israel. More nominal Jews live outside of the state of Israel than live within, so how could that be the regathering? I'd like to ask Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson that.
No, I've always had the impression that there were Khazars, which was...
Yes, you're right. Well, now, okay, the Ashkenazi are the vast majority of your present-day people called Jews. They are the people of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. You have a Sephardic group that is a minority that were your Spanish nominal Jews, and some of them could have been true Israelites because Israel went west from their Assyrian captivity, and the Assyrians took the house of Judah as well as the house of Israel captive. Mm-hmm. Back and so what I'm saying is that the vast majority of nominal Jews today are Ashkenazi. They're from your Khazars, who are from your Hittites and your Mongolians, and their original human father was Cain, though.
Go right back to Esau, though, huh?
Yeah, Esau married into their lineage. Mm-hmm. He married into the Hittites, who were the lineage of Cain, and they became a large segment of your Edomites. And they were the people that murdered Christ Jesus. These were the people that he battled with throughout his 3.5-year ministry, as recorded in the Gospels. They're the ones that beat him to a bloody pulp, nailed him to a stake, not a cross, an upright pole. The Greek word for cross is staros, mm-hmm. and it means an upright pole of a tree. The New Testament says he was crucified on a tree, and they nailed his hands and feet to that pole, and they murdered him because to shut that truth up that he was telling everybody that they were not Israelites, they were from Cain. And they even said These people even said if the Romans believed what Christ Jesus was saying, that the Romans would come and take their place and nation. So the Romans were not the adversaries of Christ Jesus at all. These people of Cain were.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were the religious leaders of that area and of the temple. Well, what we would call preachers today of organized religion, because mm-hmm. they had an organized religion there
mm-hmm.
also in the time of
Where
Christ.
Where do you find any material on the lineage of the Jews of today that's pretty reliable? Because I'm very interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you write me, phone me, and I'll send you some very interesting literature that'll help explain that to
you. I think Gene has literature on just about any aspect.
I'll call you.
That's fine. Give him a call, too.
Hey, I'll be in there. Hey, it's a great show.
All right, thank you. We'll give the number out again very soon.
Okay.
Very shortly. Thank you, Bob. Let's go to Mildred now in Kentucky, I believe. Kansas, I'm sorry. Hello, Mildred.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in about Cain. I've read the Bible 5 times, kibber to kibber and verse by verse and verse.
Uh-huh.
But anyway,
uh-huh.
the other day
yep.
I heard a minister say, did you ever hear the... I guess you call it a quip, 2 pears under an apple tree. In the Strong's Concordance, to eat means to lay, and in Genesis it says that Eve was beguiled, and if she looked beguiled, it means sexual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that Cain is the, is Satan, father?
That's correct.
Okay. Then
Genesis
I wanted to know, pardon me?
Go ahead. I said Genesis 3:15 talks about the serpent seed being having a natural animosity toward the woman's seed. That Hebrew word for seed is zerah, and it means your lineage. It doesn't mean literal seed. It also means literal seed you plant the crops with, but it symbolically means your not just your immediate children, but your lineage. So it was saying there in Genesis 3:15 that no preacher will touch with a 10-foot pole that verse.
Oh, I know that.
You know, they all know about the woman's seed being a lineage, but they don't ever talk about the serpent seed. Well, if the word seed means the woman's human lineage, then the word seed also means the serpent's human lineage.
Well, in Genesis 3:15, it refers to both seeds.
That's right.
Okay.
But the serpent is Satan the devil.
Yeah, right. What about Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel? Do you know about him?
Arnold Murray?
Uh-huh.
I think he's more of a Herbert Armstrong, Garnett Armstrong teacher, if I'm not... I don't know that much about him. I think he married Loretta Lynn, the country singer.
Yeah.
I think he teaches basic Armstrong theology, which is, since I was a member of the organization, I look at it being kind of... half and half, half the truth and half not true.
And one and last question. I believe in identity. Is that right to believe in it?
I believe
that I'm Israel of the Bible.
Believe in the truth of the Bible. You don't have to call yourself identity to do that. You don't have to call yourself a Baptist or any religious organizational name to do that. Just call yourself a New Covenant Christian and live by the truth of the Bible as you study the Bible to seek that truth.
Okay, it was real nice hearing from
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we always have people, and we've had them on the show, some preachers, some ministers who are, in and of themselves have a gift, a ministry, and they don't have your ministry, and they don't have mine and others, and I believe they're very good and sincere, but invariably when this comes up, this subject of who is true Israel, they'll always say something like, I do not see that in the Scriptures, and I do not, and I say to myself, that is the key word, I.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah,
when you don't see something, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It
sure.
just means that God has not opened your eyes. And, there are a lot of people, including myself, until fairly recently, that did not understand all of these things until the Lord opened up my eyes. And it's not that I can go around saying, I don't see it in the Scriptures. Is it in the Scriptures or is it not in the Scriptures? That's the key. And a lot of people just simply can't see it because God hasn't opened their hearts.
Well, that's in my companion Bible, it explains so many things,
sure.
that these other Bibles don't explain. And that's where I got a lot of my
Very good. Thank you.
I have a companion Bible. That is a good reference Bible.
Thank you, Mildred.
Let me say this, Rick. Apparently the Christian Paul, thought that knowing who the Israelites were was important. In Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, mm-hmm. he says, "Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises?" Mm-hmm. Now, apparently, in verse 5, "Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever." Apparently, the Christian Paul thought it was important to know who the Israel people are.
I have no quarrel with that whatsoever.
And that is all New right. Testament scripture, by the way.
Yes. Let's see if we can begin with Melvin here in Texas, I believe. Hello, Melvin.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the program now with Gene Smith.
Okay, I just want to say that I agree with both of you tonight. I think it's a great show. I just have a comment that I would like to direct to the woman from California.
Maryland.
Maryland, mm-hmm. that she couldn't seem to grasp that the flood could possibly have been a regional event. She mm-hmm. determined that it was going to be.
All right, hang on the line. We got a quick break, final break. We'll be right back with you. All right, Melvin, we'll do that. And Gene Smith, my guest, Rick Adams, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Wait. All right, okay, we're back. Not much time, though. And we have on the line our caller, Melvin, right?
Right.
And Melvin, you were addressing Gene. Go ahead quickly.
Okay. The woman that called from California that was struggling with believing that the flood could have been regional and not cover the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
The comment that I wanted to make was that she was placing a great deal of importance on that verse in Genesis where it says that all the men with breath in their nostrils.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what she needs to realize is that there were, in fact, two creations of men. There was, if you read Genesis 1 mm-hmm. and Genesis 2,
yeah.
the first creation of man was made in God's image, mm-hmm. and the second creation, the Adamic creation, he had the breath of God in his nostrils. And when, like Gene said, when they corrupted their lineage, when they mixed with the Canaanites, then God decided to, you know, to wipe them out. He saved Noah. Well, the men without breath in their nostrils at a different part of the earth, they, in fact, did survive that flood. It didn't come to them. And that's the explanation. And, you know, sometimes what you've got to do is if you've been raised in a church and you've got their doctrine embedded in you, sometimes you just have to back up just a little bit and look at things real close. And like Gene said, just read the Bible for yourself, and some of this stuff will come out.
Okay.
But that was just a comment that I had. And I'd just like to say I really enjoyed your show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We try.
Okay.
Tomorrow night we'll have Stan from Idaho on, a constitutionalist activist, and he has a very interesting history coming full circle from the radical left to the right, if you will, and he can tell you about activism and what's going on in the United States, Idaho, and the world. Another interesting program. But we can squeeze in one more caller here, I believe. And I forget his name, but we'll put him right on. Go right ahead. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes.
Terry in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Gene, quick question. Genesis 3, it said that first Adam and Eve were covered when they ate of the fruit, that mm-hmm. they covered themselves with fig leaves, and then it says later that God made garments of skin for them. Can you explain that mystery for me?
Well, Adam and Eve covered their below the waist because Eve's sin had been committed below the waist, to not get too graphic. And later, God covered them with animal skins, proving they had animals there, proving that they did eat animals, the clean animals, and that God's law says we can eat. So there's no contradiction there at all. It's just Adam and Eve clothed themselves immediately with whatever they could find. Because Adam felt guilty about allowing Eve to copulate with Satan the devil, she felt guilty over that sin also, so they covered below the waist, which indicates what the sin was, and then, of course, God covered them fully with animal skins later, and to make them look nicer, probably, also, and of course, they ate the animals after that. So, there's no contradiction in the Bible. I want to say that. The Bible has no contradictions. The contradictions come from fallible
right.
people.
Okay,
and,
thank you, Terry, for that
call. Let me get my phone number out right quick.
Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
817-483-1485. 817 area code 483-1485. The website is BibleTruthMan.com. Thank you.
One word, BibleTruthMan.com. Okay, Gene, it's been a pleasure.
Yes.
We'll have you back. Thank you.
Thank you very
Amen.
Much, Rick.
Amen. Bye-bye now. All right, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry we couldn't get to all of our callers tonight, but as you see, we've had many. Very interesting show, as always. We'll do it again, Lord willing, tomorrow night, same time, right here, same network, rbnlive.com. Continue to support RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your prayers and your gifts. Well, that's it. Rick Adams saying good night, everyone.